Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What do residents of Dallas and Fort Worth think of each other, and how do our perceptions of our neighbors' lifestyles shape the way we see ourselves? In celebration of its 40th anniversary, Texas Monthly Magazine is devoting its current edition to the six biggest cities in the state, including, of course, the two that anchor North Texas. And while the storied rivalry between Fort Worth and Dallas has surely colored the way we see each big city and the ones that surround it, there is an undeniable symbiosis between us as well, not least because the rest of the country tends to see the region in the aggregate. Joining us to talk about all of this are three contributors to this month's issue of Texas Monthly. Sarah Heppala is an editor at Salon.com. Bud Kennedy is a columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And Tim Rogers is editor of D Magazine. All three have contributed articles to that city's issue of Texas Monthly. Welcome all of you to Think.
Hi, Chris.
Thank you.
Hello.
So I want to establish right off that the purpose of this conversation is not a debate about which city is better, Fort Worth or Dallas. But I'm curious as to why you think it is perpetually a subject for debate.
We happen to be here side by side. We've grown up together with this, you know, 150-year history of some tension and competition. We wouldn't share an airport were it not for federal intervention. It's like the two kids on opposite side of the street hollering, look at me, no, look at me. And, you know, the simple fact that we're 30 miles apart, which, you know, in the frontier era was a long way. But, you know, since I-30 was built in 1960, we're a lot closer together and, you know, we've become one big area, but there's still this tension.
And I think it's just human nature. I mean, you can, East Dallas versus Oak Cliff, East Plano versus West Plano. I mean, I think it's just human nature to look at your neighbors, however far or close they might be, and define yourself against them.
That's exactly right. I was thinking the way that you define yourself is to say often what you're not. There's a rivalry between Dallas and Fort Worth. There's also a rivalry between Dallas and Austin. I mean, it depends on your own life, like how you define yourself as one way or the other. I don't know.
Chris, I do think, though, that it's not just geography because the two cities grew up so differently. I mean, you know, Dallas grew up on cotton and banking and retail, and Fort Worth grew up on cattle and oil and building bombers at the bomber plant. And, you know, the two cities have grown, started out differently and have grown differently.
You know, it's interesting, though, whenever you talk about rivalry, I think about sibling rivalry. And I think about becoming an adult and realizing how much in common I had with my siblings that you never notice when you're a kid because you're so busy defining the ways in which you're different.
So you're just saying that the cities haven't grown up yet? Well, we haven't come to appreciate our siblings?
We're getting
that
there.
Might be true.
No, I just think that, you know, we have the same topography. We have the same, you know, there are a lot of shared issues with water and air quality and transportation that we don't necessarily think about as being things that sort of draw us together.
Well, and that's important, too, that we learn how to behave more like that, and especially when it comes to water and transportation, because it does have to be a North Texas vision for that kind of thing. You can't have people. You can't have Dallas doing its own thing and Fort Worth doing its own and Arlington doing its own thing, too. We all have to work as one unit, which I think we're getting better at.
Now, there, and you've immediately raised the other issue for the show is by calling it the North Texas vision. It's, you know, what are we and where are we?
All right. Well, and let's get this down now and get it out of the way. The term Metroplex, Tim, you hate it.
Now, that's what I wrote about for the issue. And this is something that D Magazine has fought against more or less in earnest for almost the entire existence of the magazine since it was founded in 1974. And that is that the word Metroplex is awful.
We're not supposed to use it here either.
Are you not?
Yeah.
Good. Who made that rule?
It was years ago, so I couldn't tell you, but I've worked here 11 years and we're not supposed to use it.
Yeah, we don't print it in the magazine unless we're talking about not using the word. So the word was invented by this guy who, his name is Harvey Chapman, and he spells his name without a Y, so right away I think you know what kind of individual you're dealing with. And Harvey
may be listening from Sulphur Springs.
I hope he is listening. Hi, Harvey. I hate you. Harvey invented the word. He was hired by the North Texas Commission, notice. This was when the airport was being built. And so they needed a way to promote the region outside of the region, in other words, to New Yorkers for the most part. And so they came up with this ad campaign, and they advertised the fact that that DFW Airport is the size of Manhattan, But what do you call the whole area around it? And Harvey was the guy who came up with the word metroplex, which is a blending of the Greek metropolis with the French by way of Latin complex. And I just think it sounds horrible. And there's a reason why nobody from North Texas, if asked outside of this area where they're from, says, I'm from the metroplex. Because it sounds horrible. So if you're from Fort Worth, you say you're from Fort Worth. If you're from Dallas, you say you're from Dallas. If you're from Arlington, I guess you say you're from Arlington. But if you're from Flower Mound, I think you say you're from Dallas. Regardless, you don't say you're from the metroplex.
And I share Tim's hatred for the term. I remember how I winced when they came out. They called it originally the Southwest Metroplex. Then they changed it to Dallas-Fort Worth Metro. You know, if the word metroplex is so great, why didn't the North Texas Commission ever change its name, you know? But, you know, I remember when Frank Lucchesi was named the Rangers manager in the 70s, he stepped at the press conference and said, I love the metroplex. And everybody just groaned. I mean, you know, you must be new here. You know, otherwise, you wouldn't even call it that. I stand unified with Tim to bury the term metroplex.
But you and I are going to hug before this,
absolutely,
before the show's over, I think.
But you don't mind the term DFW either.
DFW is what we are to the world. DFW is our name now, and although I understand that Tim is involved with a small local magazine here that covers one city, you know, the DFW is our window to the world, and Dallas, Fort Worth, and DFW are what we're known by now. And I every day I see DFW is more common use in websites elsewhere in the world. I tell people that although for years in Fort Worth we wanted to be first, we wanted to call it Fort Worth Dallas, and there was a rule even on American Airlines that pilots had to say they were landing at the Fort Worth Dallas airport an equal number of times as at the Dallas Fort Worth airport years ago.
But so they keep like a little score sheet up in the cockpit.
It was like a basketball game. We have the arrow, you know, exactly who had to look and see who would come in next. But you know, but I think at this point, you know, DFW is where our future is. Dallas Fort Worth is where our future is. Fort Worth people say, well, we're not first, but we're still 2/3 of the deal. So.
Well, let me ask you this: I mean, if not for DFW, would Fort Worth be left out of the equation? When I went to TCU in the late '80s, I would tell people I was going there, and they'd say, "Oh, you're going to school in Dallas," and I would say, "No, it's Fort Worth." But people who are from outside sort of assume Dallas alone is a good shorthand.
You know, I think transportation, DFW is the latest example of the fact that transportation has always been what Fort Worth has clung to. You know, one of the first real wedges in this rivalry was when the railroad came east from Dallas and stopped at Dallas. And people in Fort Worth were afraid that they were going to dry up and blow away. And that's where the Dallas columnist making fun of Fort Worth, saying it was so sleepy that a panther slept in the street, and Fort Worth took on the nickname Panther City and all that. You know, I mean, Fort Worth was afraid of not getting the train, so the people in Fort Worth went out and built the train themselves and, you know, put together rails and lumber and ties and said, okay, TNP, if you can't do it, we'll do it. And we built the railroad ourselves the extra 30 miles to make sure that the train came in. You know, that's why the whole political battle over the airport has always been so bitter. Because Fort Worth, you know, wants to continue to be seen as an equal partner. You know, there are 2.5 million people on the Fort Worth side of the market. Tarrant County is the third largest in the state. The Fort Worth area is larger than the San Antonio area or the Austin area. You know, and so, you know, we're just, you know, frightened of being left behind by Dallas. That's going to carry over again into questions about the high-speed rail line across Texas. Will it go from Houston to South Dallas, or will it go from Houston to Dallas and Fort Worth?
Sarah, you have written not just in Texas Monthly, but about your complex relationship to the area. You grew up here, you left saying, like, I guess I'll never come back. And then you came back and discovered things. Had you not noticed them before? Did it take sort of living elsewhere to see this part of the country for what it was?
Yeah, all of that. I mean, I grew up in Dallas really sort of feeling like, how did this happen to me? I mean, I was one of these kids that I defined myself against this place. I was very much not a Dallas girl. And I came to sort of dislike all the emblems of Dallas living. I mean, sports and organized religion, conservatism, that was all, you know, I felt like an alien here. And when I left and I went to Austin for college, I sort of had a never again, you know, I will never go back to Dallas except for Christmas where my parents do my laundry. You know? I was in Austin for 10 years. And when I finally came back, I had fallen in love with somebody. And, And
I thought we agreed we weren't going to talk about that, Sarah.
And he's sitting right next to me. No, I came back, and what I found was that the city was different, but I had changed too. I mean, Dallas is such a bigger place than I saw when I was growing up. This is a really large city. I live in East Dallas now, which feels like a different town than the one that I grew up in, which was Highland Park. So much of my 30s has been about just sort of trying to accept the place that I came from, which I think is sort of a life stage that people go through, you know. Eventually, I moved off to New York, and I was there for 6 years. I moved back to Dallas again 2 years ago. And what I tried to do more actively was embrace the things that I had not understood before. I found that if I just listened and tried not to judge, that there was just there was a lot more in this city that I enjoyed and loved. And there was a lot more in me. You know, I think I am a Dallas girl. I always said I wasn't. I really am. I got flash.
Well, is the question is, did you have to define yourself against the Dallas that somebody else told you Dallas was, as opposed to what it actually was?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I was 13 years old. I had to define myself. I don't know. I defined myself against everything, and mm-hmm. I didn't like much of anything at all. I didn't like me. I didn't like the person I was. When I came back, yeah, I definitely was like, oh, I don't know that I like Dallas. And part of what I didn't like was the Dallas stereotypes that I'd been fed all my life. You know, at some point, Tim and I had an argument about this, and he challenged me on some of my thinking. I mean, I had in an article that I wrote called Dallas, a Town of Silicone and Steakhouses. You know, Dallas is a town of silicone and steakhouses, but it's a town of a lot more.
But what you had done is you had trotted out that old saw about how there are more. You said something.
More strip clubs per capita.
Yeah.
You left out the cocaine. That would go in there, too.
Yeah, it's a town of cocaine. Sorry. No, it's not.
I was about to pull out a statistic that I just heard, that cocaine use in the U.S. is dropping, and I was thinking, is it not dropping here?
No, it's not. Nothing about cocaine.
I mean, we're all blasted right now,
yeah.
But no one else is using it.
No, but the whole thing about silicone and strip clubs and you know, whatever, I mean, I do see the city for a lot more than that. I see Fort Worth for a lot more than, you know, cowboy culture. That's an important part of things, but why do we allow ourselves, even those of us who live here, to sort of, we may joke about them, but we all sort of, if there's not too much questioning of the stereotypes.
Well, now let's remember that the rest of the world has defined us by the only things that we do share as a whole region, and that is, you know, first of all, devoutly conservative religion, and second of all, the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the only two common interests that we all share across DFW, North Texas, whatever, and that's what the rest of the world sees when they see us.
And big hair.
And big hair.
Big blonde hair. Gene Street used to stand outside of his restaurant when he does he still have a place out in Terminal D? He would stand outside and welcome folks as they would come off the airplanes and ask them, and he did this years ago, but he would ask them, what's the thing that you think of when I say Dallas? Sorry, bud. He didn't say Dallas and Fort Worth, as far as I know. And they would say, Cowboys, you're absolutely right. But right up in the top, you know, in the top two or three things, they would say big blonde hair.
But
Dallas,
I mean,
blonde.
Sarah Heppel, big blonde hair hasn't been in style anywhere for like 20 years, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. In fact, I did a column for D that kind of examined the big hair myth, because I came back to Dallas and I wanted to challenge that. Although I will say, I interviewed all these hairstylists who had national, you know, had worked in L.A. or New York, and they all said, we do wear our hair bigger. Mm-hmm. And then somebody told me, I have big hair. I have kind of big Farrah Fawcett hair. You know, like, there is a certain, like, bigness and flash and striving to the Dallas existence. I mean, we kind of do it sequins and razzle-dazzle.
We are talking about the self-images that we all have of Dallas and Fort Worth and the entire North Texas area with Sarah Heppela, Bud Kennedy, and Tim Rogers. We would love to hear from you now at 1-800-933-5372 or online to think at kera.org. Why do you live exactly where you live, and what do you think of your neighbors?
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. New spring semester personal enrichment and professional development courses are now open and available for registration. You can learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Texas Monthly Magazine's February 2013 issue is dedicated to the cities of Texas in honor of the 40th anniversary of the existence of the magazine. We are talking here with three journalists from the North Texas area about the images that their cities have and what they mean and how we have shaped one another. Tim Rogers is editor of D Magazine. Bud Kennedy is a columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And Sarah Heppala is an editor at Salon.com. You can join us. Let us know where you live, how you think about your city and your neighbors by calling in to 1-800-933-5372, or you can email think@kera.org. So, Bud Kennedy, you have brought me a T-shirt today, and on the back it says, "Life is too short to live in Dallas." And I have to say, I love the shirt. It's purple, like my alma mater. But there aren't too many people in Dallas walking around printing up T-shirts to say how much we hate Fort Worth. What's the deal there?
You know, and they sell the same shirts in Houston. You know, Chris, the deal there is that, you know, inevitably, because Dallas is the city on the pedestal, the city with the television show, the city with
That's done us any favors.
The city with the worldwide identity. You know, everyone else tends to look at Dallas for that reason. But the fact of the matter is, Houston constantly compares itself to Dallas. You can look at the news there, and they're always running. They run half Dallas stories. The newspaper runs charts comparing Houston and Dallas constantly. You know, Fort Worth does the same thing. Fort Worth people, you know, always pay attention to Dallas. But Dallas, you know, Dallas looks at nobody but Dallas. There is this. I think Thomas Korosek in the Chronicle put it better than I did a few years ago. He said Houston constantly looks to Dallas. Dallas looks only in the mirror.
Well, you know.
By the way, I just want to say that Bud brought each of you ladies a T-shirt, and I didn't get one. So earlier, I know, Bud, I said that you and I might hug it out before the show is over, and now I'm just a little hurt, man.
Well, and this is from a magazine that also sees only its own D at this point and its own city. So a magazine that is for 40 years' purpose has been to cover only North Dallas and not any of the rest. I think the suburban coverage does creep over to the west side of South Lake Town Square, but you know,
Fort Worth has a magazine. It has
Fort Worth has more of an advertising magazine. That's right. You know, but
Budge is coming in here with both guns, isn't he?
But your magazine is good for your market. But there are two sides to this market.
Sound like a compliment.
As the broadcasters know, and as you know, it was Ron Chapman and his great leadership here at radio who had the same kind of rule that every time you mention Dallas, you have to mention Fort Worth, and that he said that he wanted all of his broadcasters to speak as if they were on top of the oil derrick at Six Flags and broadcasting to everyone in both cities and treat all of North Texas with the same respect.
Well, it is interesting that you bring up markets and media because we are I think we're the fifth media market and the fourth metropolitan area by size in the country. And we wouldn't be either of those without one another, which doesn't seem to be something that people talk about a whole lot. That if you didn't put the two cities together, we would be behind Houston.
I actually, you know, was a child. I'm obviously having been born early in the last century. You know, I remember when the two markets were separate broadcast markets, and they were not combined until the 60s. And you know, we still make lists of comparing if you grew up in Dallas, if you grew up in Fort Worth, you grew up listening to KFJZ and Marky Baby. And if you grew up in Dallas, you grew up listening to KLIF. And you know, the two cities, you know, had different. We used to, you know, when you make fun of kids in school and said, well, you must have just gotten out of. Well, in Fort Worth, you say you must just have gotten out of Wichita Falls. In Dallas, say you must just have gotten out of Terrell. You know, things like that. There are experiences that we didn't share growing up because the two cities were separate.
I've just always really liked it that the two were lumped together. I mean, I think that they even each other out in a nice way. I always liked having Fort Worth attached to us. I feel like it evens us out in a nice way. And for Fort Worth, maybe it makes you feel a little taller to have Dallas attached to your name.
Sure.
You know, I just like it.
Before we open it up to calls, we have lots of people who want to take part in this. I do want to talk about time orientation. Is it a stretch to say that Dallas is sort of future oriented and Fort Worth is focused more precisely on its history and preservation of culture?
I always feel like Dallas is striving to be something else, like something bigger than it is, and Fort Worth really embraced its roots, its Cowtown roots. That's how I see it.
I would agree. I worked in, you know, this was like a decade ago, but I worked at the Star-Telegram for a short period, and I would absolutely agree with what Sarah just said, that Dallas definitely feels like a place that is just itching to tear something down. And Fort Worth, I mean, all you have to do is look at what downtown Fort Worth is like to get an idea of what Dallas wishes its downtown could be like. You know, Fort Worth is so much, Bud, don't you think it's slower? I mean, I think when you visit other parts of the country and you come back to Dallas, at least I do, I'm struck by how polite and nice people are here. And I was always struck when I would go to Fort Worth to work during that time that I worked at the Star-Telegram by how much nicer and more polite people are in Fort Worth compared to Dallas. It's just it is a slower, friendlier place.
Well, and that's exactly what it says on the back of the T-shirt, yeah. You know, that Dallas is too hurried and too crowded and too rushed. And,
I don't disagree with that T-shirt.
And too busy.
I wish I had one.
and Fort Worth is a little bit of a slower place. The history is something. You know, Fort Worth came to a turning point about 20 years ago where there was a big move as Fort Worth became more diverse to say that let's get rid of the cowboy image. And there was some strong leadership saying, you know, the rest of the world flies here to find cowboys. Let's keep some cowboy thought going. And they said, okay, let's promote cowboys and culture. And the big move is, as they've added lately with the Vaquero statue, with the trilingual leaders of the Fort Worth herd, you know, who do the programs for the cattle drive in the stockyards. You know, Fort Worth has said, okay, let's keep our cowboy history, but let's make sure it's a diverse history and that everybody enjoys it. And that was a great decision on the part of Doug Harmon, you know, Mayor Barr, Mayor Granger, some of the leaders, that to say we're not going to throw out the cowboy.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's hear first from Andrew in Irving. Hey, Andrew.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I have a comment and a question. The comment is, I see the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I live in the Las Colinas area of Irving as an outdoor mecca where I can enjoy nature, and completely different from what's being described. And I was wondering if that's the comment. And I was wondering if anybody's ever considered a Dallas-Fort Worth municipal overlay to take advantage of the extreme diversity that is my experience of the DFW area.
Thanks for your call. Anybody know about there are regional, you know, councils of governments that get together and that sort of thing. I don't know specifically if they identify outdoor attractions.
Well, so maybe that question was kind of two parts. The North Texas Council of Governments would maybe, I mean, but they're mostly involved with transportation and so forth. So I don't. It was that question about an overlay for the how beautiful it is outside?
I think he was talking about that. Yeah, promoting there is a lot to do outdoors. It's not just indoors.
There is a Houston outside for the Houston Galveston area. I don't know of a single group here. You know, we're still in this, you know, immature phase where Dallas and Fort Worth have separate Audubon chapters and separate Sierra clubs, I don't think there is a good overall resource for we talk a lot about how ugly it is here and how we don't have a lot of natural beauty. There's not one group promoting what we do have.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Timmy in Oak Cliff. Hey, Timmy.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Awesome show. I love it. I grew up in North Dallas, and I kind of sympathize with your guest there. I moved away after high school to go into the Army for 3 years and came back to a very different city. While in the military, every state is the worst state except the state you're from. You kind of have to puff your chest out and make a big deal about where you're from. So I fought a lot of stereotypes of Texas guys in the Army and came back to a city that I didn't know nearly enough about. So I sympathize with your guest there, and I can relate to that. And then I guess my comment is I agree with a lot of things y'all are saying about Dallas-Fort Worth. Fort Worth is a lot of tradition. I think of a lot of tradition and community. It's kind of a slower feel, a smaller feel, whereas Dallas is fast and new and modern. But as y'all said a second ago, it's still the South. It's still got a lot of things that the rest of the country doesn't have. And then your last caller just said something about admiring the beauty of the city. We're trying to work on a velo web right now to link Fort Worth and Dallas by bicycle, which I think is kind of what I'm trying to promote here, is working together with both cities to bring them together. And the velo web is one of those things.
Fantastic idea. Anybody want to speak to anything that Timmy brought up?
Bikes, yes. I support them. You know what? The bike trail, though, in Dallas is taking shape, and I'd be interested to know how the two, Bud, do you know where's the route between Fort Worth and Dallas?
I think the idea is to connect along River Legacy Park in Arlington, along, you know, some connection with Green Oaks and Carrier there, but I don't know exactly where those trails connect, but I know that the bicyclists are, you know, Mayor Price has made, you know, bike lanes in Fort Worth a big part of her legacy in Fort Worth. I know the bicyclists are one of the groups really leading toward more appreciation of the two cities.
One of the things that Timmy reminded me of, which is a different subject than what you guys are talking about, but the way that being in another state where people bag on the place that you're from really changes the way that you feel about it. When I lived in New York, you know, everyone loved Austin. Austin was, oh my gosh, you were from Austin. And if I said I was from Dallas, they often said, oh, I'm so sorry. That was so common.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Never having been here, knowing nothing about it. And it really altered the way that I felt. I mean, I'm kind of a contrarian by nature. And I'm also very loyal to the places where I came from. And I started to wonder why I had thought that. And you know, you begin to just feel that defensive spirit of, well, you don't know where. You know, and they would say these things like, well, Dallas is just all white. You know, it's just all white suburbs. You know, that's just not statistically true at all, you know. And in fact, Austin is a very white place. Anyway, it really did change the way that I feel. Anyway, that's all I have.
Are we still shaking off the idea that we are only made up of people who have lived here for generations? Because it does seem to me, living in this part of the country, I'm not from here originally. I really like it here. But a lot more people, maybe particularly in Dallas, but also in Fort Worth, have come from other places to this part of the country. And so we all together have to sort of take a little bit of what we've been told about the place with our own experiences and then figure out what these places mean to us.
I kind of assume when I meet somebody new that they're not from here. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just seems to feel like the way it is. Everybody's from somewhere else that lives in – not everybody. Bud grew up here. You were born here, weren't you?
I grew up on the west side of Fort Worth, but I've lived and worked in Dallas as well.
Yeah. See, I was born in Los Angeles near – well, came from Los Angeles, born in near Santa Barbara. So, and well, I guess you were
– I was born in Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah. So we're all transplants, right?
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We have an email here from Melissa who says, I came to Dallas to attend SMU from Joplin, Missouri. I was awed by the size and glitz at first, but came to love the diversity of the city. I now live and am raising 4 children in Lake Highlands, where I have found generous, friendly people. I feel so fortunate to have museums, theaters, and vibrant downtown. So let us know why you live where you live, what you think of the area. Next on the phone, we have ER calling from Fort Worth. Hi, ER.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. I grew up on the west side of Fort Worth as well, and I also spent several years in Austin during college and after. Loved Austin. In my opinion, Austin's a little bit too impressed with itself for its own good, but that being said, I called to discuss Fort Worth and Dallas. And I don't know how much traveling the members of the panel have done in Europe. When people ask me about Fort Worth and Dallas, I spend a lot of time. I'm back living here, by the way. When they ask me about the difference, the only comparison that really works for me is I tell them Dallas is like Rome and Fort Worth is like Florence. Rome is a great city and Florence is a better town. That's how I put it.
That's beautifully stated. Thank you so much, ER. Nobody can argue with those descriptions, right?
That's fine with me.
Life is too short to live in Rome.
Apparently for the Pope it is. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. We have an email here from Tom in Wichita Falls who says, up here in Wichita Falls, we mostly say DFW and perhaps occasionally the Metroplex. But if we say North Texas, we're including our city, too. Mm. Important to remember that this is a very large area that we all live
in. I'm afraid we're going to have to break it to Wichita Falls, though, that we now own the name and they're no longer allowed to use it. And they'll get a cease and desist if they keep it up.
I think we can let them in. We can let them slide. 1-800-933-5372. Mike in Las Colinas is on the line now. Hey, Mike.
Yes. Hello, Chris. Another interesting show for sure. Well, I'm another transplant like the rest of us here, but what brought me to Dallas-Fort Worth was really Denton, because of the jazz program up there at UNT. And what I wanted to ask the panel and for their maybe opinions here is, like, what is it about this part of the country, and we can just say Dallas-Fort Worth, that can reinvent themselves after a huge economic turmoil? When I moved here, there was a lot of problems, and it just seems like these cities have a way of reinventing themselves to being more than a one-trick pony. So I just wanted to get some opinions on that, and thanks.
Thanks for your call. Great question.
I think we have to turn to Bud. He's going to remember the SNL crisis better than anybody else. I assume that's what he's referring to.
Well, I think that the fact that this area, I was on a show yesterday in California on a chat at Texas versus California.
Wow. Texas had to win there.
And one of the big edges Texas has is that the economy here is more diverse than California's. The home building hit California harder. The fact of the matter is that that we do have these two cities have grown up with different businesses, different industries. The high tech has become a great industry here, but it's not the only industry. The sheer fact that DFW Airport is here, and DFW Airport has become one of the airports that draws the world, has made us a magnet for all kinds of industries. We have all kinds of jobs here. So one economic downturn doesn't hit us as hard.
Bud Kennedy is here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Sarah Heppala is an editor at Salon.com. Tim Rogers is editor of D Magazine. All three contributed to Texas Monthly Magazine's special 40th anniversary February issue, which is dedicated to the cities of Texas. Want to hear from you about your city, why you live here, what you think of it in just a moment. You can email us at think@kera.org or call in to 1-800-933-5372.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. New spring semester personal enrichment and professional development courses are now open and available for registration. You can learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We are speaking this hour with Sarah Heppala of Salon.com, Bud Kennedy from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and Tim Rogers of D Magazine about their contributions to Texas Monthly's February 2013 issue on the cities of Texas. Join us at 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. Interesting question here from Larry in Dallas. Larry asks, how much of Dallas's lack of historical bent is because its history contains the JFK assassination?
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think that so much of the Dallas identity is kind of an attempt to recover from this moment in 1963 when our self-image is shattered. And if you look at all the ways that we kind of spackle over that, I'm very struck by the fact that there's not much of a sign downtown to promote the Sixth Floor Museum, which is the greatest tourist attraction in the city, as far as I know. I mean, the extent to which we deny that, there is a kind of denial, I don't know. That's what I see anyway.
Well, it's hard to know what to do with that, though. I mean, you don't make t-shirts or bumper stickers,
Well, no, you promote it for what it is. It's an incredible piece of history. It's profound. It changed the course of our country, and you honor that. I mean, you don't put neon signs and, you don't shush it. There's something, I don't know, that to me there's kind of something sort of Southern and polite about the way that, that's handled in a way that I feel like, I don't know, it distresses me.
If he'd been killed in Michigan, it would be different. Well, okay, you would need to talk to somebody who lived here before 1963 to find out whether Dallas paid so little attention to its history then as it perhaps now does. And I don't know the answer to that question, and I don't even think maybe Bud does.
Well, I'm going to just say Dallas has always been about modern glitz retail. Before 1963, Dallas was still a retail center that was all about building the newest, flashiest, downtown buildings.
The Kennedys were headed to the trademark.
Exactly. I think connecting the two is not valid. Dallas was always about, you know, money and looking flashy.
Well, and then I think, you know, so I'm 42, and I would say if you walked up to anybody over the age of, well, between the age of 35 and say 50, maybe, there's probably a cutoff, and you ask them, what does the assassination mean to you and how you feel about your city? I think you're going to get a blank look for the most part. I mean, and maybe this goes to, you know, Dallas always moving on and looking, you know, toward the future that. And I also think that's one of the reasons why we're having a hard time figuring out how we're going to not celebrate, but commemorate.
Mm-hmm.
The city is going, it's a really awkward kind of first initial steps, you know, and November's right around the corner. And this idea of, you know, they're talking about putting up television screens downtown and controlling access to Dealey Plaza. And that also sounds very Dallas. You know, I mean, this idea that you're going to find a lot of, you know, the same crowd down there, people who give money to causes and stuff. So it's Dallas has a very awkward relationship with that date, for sure.
I think Dallas is reluctant to look back, not only because of JFK, but because of the Civil War history and the Klan. And, you know, Dallas is more, we said the South, but, you know, we've always said Dallas is a Southern city, Fort Worth is a Western city. Fort Worth is where the West begins. You know, there are you know, even, you know, college academic studies showing that Fort Worth is more like Las Vegas than it is like Dallas, you know, in culture or Phoenix. But I think Dallas, you know, the roots of both of the South and Civil War segregation, racism has been worse in Dallas than in Fort Worth. The racial discord, you know, has been worse in Dallas. And I think Dallas just, you know, would rather not look back, would rather look forward. And Fort Worth kind of wants to wrap its arms around all this history and market it and sell it.
We have an email here from Ian who says, what about political differences? As a Democrat, I felt uncomfortable living in Fort Worth, but I love living in Dallas. And that's a relatively recent shift, I would think.
Well, and, you know, people from outside the area always think that Dallas proper is a Republican stronghold, and it's not at all. But I don't know. Is Fort Worth, is it straight up Republican?
Tarrant County has the most Republican votes in the country, along with Orange County and Harris County, but Fort Worth as a city is Democratic. So, you know, that's something that's changing for both of us across the Metroplex.
You just said it. I can't believe you just said it, Bud.
Metroplex?
You just said Metroplex.
And he didn't bring you a T-shirt.
God.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Jose in Dallas. Hi, Jose.
Hi, Chris. I'm originally from New York City, and I came here when I was an adolescent. And I pretty much came kicking and screaming because the misconception that I had of Dallas was boots, tumbleweeds. You know, as a kid in New York, you think anything off of the island is pretty much non-existent. You don't know what's out there. Well, I came here, and just the vast amount of growth and strength that Dallas has come out with, the Arts District and, you know, just the transportation infrastructure. I remember moving here when I was an adolescent and literally being stuck and twiddling with my thumbs, thinking, how am I supposed to get around? There isn't a subway system. And you constantly see that the infrastructure is being developed. But then you also see that there's a lot of oxymorons, like Dallas is very, very built up, and it's trying to have some sort of a Manhattanization, but then yet it's so L.A., where everything is extremely sectioned off and everyone has their own quarters. How can you explain, or what do you all think is going to happen as Dallas moves forward? Is it going to be more of a grow up or grow out? What is exactly going to happen?
I guess if we knew that, we could we'd know where to buy land, and none of us we wouldn't have to spend our days behind computer terminals. But yeah, that is one thing that is that, well, is one of the things that's shaped how Dallas has grown, is that land has been so cheap that it was so much easier to expand northward and out than it was to create any sort of density downtown. And I hope that we're starting to figure that out, and there's been sort of a, you know, rebound. The tension is being sort of focused back toward the core, especially with the bridge and the park having recently been completed.
Well, there's interesting transitions, I think, in a lot of large metro areas with the inner ring suburbs, and in this case, I would include the inner ring suburbs that surround Fort Worth as well. And everything sort of moves in waves, and now you have those first suburbs as places that are starting to look to define themselves and redevelop themselves in ways that they didn't have to think about.
And now that housing stock is bringing in a lot of the immigrant population because those homes are so much cheaper. So those what used to be a very new suburb is now a place where people who are first coming to the area are getting their toehold.
But if Dallas is looking, and I've been to conferences where people sit together and talk about how we can make Dallas a world-class city, what does Fort Worth want to be?
You know, I think that, well, Fort Worth, first of all, wants to be respected and wants to be known as
Dallas or by everybody.
Wants to be known as the third largest market in Texas, and that you know, Fort Worth wants to be regarded as the other. This is not a St. Paul. This is not a spare part. That we're more like Tampa and St. Petersburg here. You know, so I think first of all, Fort Worth just wants to be included. I think for the future, you know, Fort Worth wants to. Fort Worth wants to be able to grow north, which Dallas can't do. Fort Worth's growth continues, unrestrained through Denton County, and the march to Oklahoma continues. Fort Worth wants to get bigger, but also, we're going to have to address that transportation issue and the transit issue too. But I mean, Fort Worth wants to be able to continue to grow and thrive.
Does too much growth threaten what Fort Worth is? I've worked for small companies that suddenly ballooned and became global, and the culture was different. And I know a company is not the same as a city, but there are some parallels.
Well, the threat is that we already deal with this, the people north of the Loop in Fort Worth, because of the traffic on I-35, the most congested highway in Texas, one of the most congested highways in America, because of I-35. Because there is a difference, and I keep stressing this with traffic reporters, but the traffic on I-35W has made Keller as far away as Dallas for central Fort Worth, and we have to get through that traffic problem, or people are going to be getting to feel like that they live in a different place.
Let's go back to the phones now. This time we'll speak with Jame in Carrollton. Hi, Jame.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks.
I hear you people talk about Dallas-Fort Worth. I arrived on the scene at Florence Nightingale Hospital in 1952. My father was from Roanoke, and my mother was from Farmers Branch. I lived part of my life in Roanoke, part of my life in Farmers Branch in Carrollton. And it's a wonderful mix, and it's really nice to be able to go and do so many fine things that are available in both communities. We tend to go to Fort Worth, believe it or not, to the Kimball and the Amon Carter Museums and see a lot of fine exhibits there that you might think would be more in Dallas. One other instant, my wife now, her folks lived out by Lubbock, and my grandma lived in Roanoke, Texas. And my grandma took the Fort Worth Star Telegram, and my wife's grandma out by Lubbock took the Fort Worth Star Telegram. So anyway, I'm 60 years old, and I've seen a lot of change in this region. My grandpa was a farmer. All my ancestors were farmers in this area, and it seems it really grown.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Jame. I wonder if anybody has looked at the parallel development of the arts district in Fort Worth has had a more robust area for a long time, and sort of Dallas has come along. Are those two things related, or is it just that a city gets to a certain point, there's a certain amount of wealth, and people want to support this?
I would guess toward the latter. I mean, are you asking, did people in Dallas sit here and go, well, you know, Fort Worth is really kind of kicking our butts when
for a long time, Fort Worth prided itself on the fact that the idea was, and I'm not endorsing either point of view, but the idea was that Dallas simply couldn't compare. And I think Dallas has worked hard to be able to compare.
Well, it was great to hear that caller, talk about his appreciation for the arts and the museums. And, he's somebody, a perfect example of somebody who's grown up here, Texan, but loves to come to the art museums in Fort Worth. Fort Worth's museums were founded by great philanthropic families. And, we never understood why Dallas didn't keep up, but they finally started to keep up.
If you have friends who have never been here, how do you describe where you live, Sarah?
It's a good question. Sometimes I tell people that Dallas is a place that's hard to love because it's a little bit it's a little bit hard to know. There's not like a central area that I can take somebody to and say this is Dallas.
Yeah, like now you've seen the city.
Seen the city. If you go to other cities, sometimes there's that area, and I always struggle to show people what I see. It's almost like I don't have enough time. A lot of my friends, their experience of coming into Dallas is going to like a hotel by the airport for some sort of conference. I can't tell you the number of people that have been to the Sheraton or the airport or whatever. And then they ask me where to go. Where's the quintessential Dallas restaurant? Sometimes I just send them to Bob's or something, mm-hmm. How do I describe Dallas? I don't know. I feel like I'm still trying to figure that out for myself.
Which is maybe good. That's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
Of living anywhere. Once you feel like you know someplace and there's nothing else to learn, then you're done.
Well, Sarah, I hope you take them to the Deck Park downtown. I hope you take them across the bridge. Dallas has done so much in the last couple of years just since the Super Bowl was here when ESPN chose to base their Super Bowl set in downtown Fort Worth because there was more of a sense of place. Look how Dallas has changed since then, and look at the great places you have to show them now. Fort Worth has to get on the stick, and they're already remodeling Sundance Square, to reshape it for the next go-around. But, Dallas has a sense of place now.
Would a 2012 Olympic win for this region have brought us together, or would it have made like the DFW battle of 1960, whatever it was, look like small potatoes?
The 2012 Olympic bid was started by Arlington, which is the great referee between us. Historically, the real visionary for the Council of Governments, for every regional effort that's ever been done here, was Tom Vandergriff and the Vandergriff family in Arlington. Those are the people who have brought Dallas and Fort Worth together over and over again, and that was where the Olympic bid started. I think with Arlington bringing everybody together, it might have done more to unify us. At least we really needed unifying on mass transit.
It does seem like Arlington doesn't waste a lot of time and energy worrying about what people think of the city itself. They put things there that people want to go to, and they don't care if people get the name wrong. Am I wrong about that?
Arlington has its model, and its model is Anaheim, and Anaheim doesn't sit around worrying about not being L.A. It tries to be a really good Anaheim.
Final thoughts, Jim Rogers?
I've really enjoyed our time together, and I'm just really sad that the editor of Texas Monthly, Jake Silverstein, so rudely rebuffed you and refused to appear on the show, and I want it noted.
I don't believe that's what happened. but it's been great to have this conversation. And do you think that we'll get to a place where so many people come from other places that we're done with the rivalry, or is this something that does the rivalry itself help to define both cities?
You need a rivalry. You need a rivalry.
You need a little tension. You need a little something to talk about. And the rest of the planet used to talk about the Dallas-Fort Worth rivalry and how, whether Eamon Carter really took a sack lunch to Dallas or not. His family says he didn't. But, Time and Life and the magazines and the New York columnists used to talk about the rivalry between Dallas and Fort Worth. It's good for both of us.
Bud Kennedy writes for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Sarah Heppala is an editor at Salon. Tim Rogers is editor of D Magazine. All three have pieces in the Texas Monthly Magazine's 40th anniversary issue this month, dedicated to the cities of Texas. It's been great to have all of you with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Today's show was engineered by Shelley Canavy. Joe Bilotti answers the phones. Christine McConnell produces the podcast. Jeff Whittington is our senior producer. Thanks always for listening. My name is Chris Boyd. Have a great day. We'll